Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to those who have tuned in. Had a little bit of technical difficulties, but welcome to New Minds. Welcome to a self-healing program where the participants will have the opportunity to analyze themselves in relating to their ups and downs and learning what triggers to cause one to lose their focus on their overall goals. What triggers inside of you to make you settle for decisions made that are unworthy of you or that are unqualified of you? What's getting in your way? Are you in your own way? New Minds is a detox program designed to change your old mind into a new mind so that you can become a better you. And the overall focus is, again, an inside job. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what the concept of the show is, and I guess this is to ask yourself what's the work that you need to do for you to develop a new mind, which comes with time. So the first thing I thought of is to engage your interests. A lot of us, we just let that, whatever interests us, we don't want to do the work to draw in the interest or to draw in the idea and to reflect on it and to begin to do the work in order to bring those interests to life. We let our insecurities disable us. There are many people in the world with disabilities, but who are very successful at the things that interest them. I was just reading some information on Facebook about a Muslim sister who's African Muslim, who lives in Dakar. She was born with some an unknown disability where she can't use her arms, but she loves. She's an artist. She's a visual artist, and she uses her mouth to draw beautiful, beautiful work. I forget the name, but next time I will definitely leave her name on the show so you can go back and reference her. But I thought that was a big, big thing for her, and that just goes to show you it doesn't matter what disability you have, you still have that capacity to do the things that you were born to do. And New Minds is a way for you to find yourself, I believe, your true self. So we want to help people develop that and to search for those ideas within themselves. And another thing is to respect the other person's space. Respect their personal space, because when you do that, you're letting them vent. You know, if they need to talk and let something go or let it out, just let them vent, because this is their healing moment. Hence, correct negativity with positivity with the right intent, which is the beginning of a new mind state. To have a new mind, we must look at our hearts as well. So we have to do things with the right intention, and if you let the person vent, let them vent. But if you see something that's negative in them, something that they're not expressing correctly or whatever, or something that have offended you in their expressing it, just correct them with the right intent behind it. Don't get feisty, because that's going back to your old mind. We want to focus on creating our new mind so we can live our true lives and where we can just be our true selves. We can be our true selves. And to have effective results, we want to have effective results. When your thinking has changed, you do things differently. So that's very important to understand. I wanted to introduce my co-host, God willing, Abdul Rashid Salam. Could you please let yourself be heard?
No, listen. Can I hear you?
Okay, we're gonna work on that little technical difficulty.
Wa
alaikum assalam. Hello? No, it doesn't say. Okay, we're gonna work on that small technical difficulty, but I did want to introduce this brother who's a jewel. He's been hiding from us. We're gonna bring him to the, you know, to the for our listening audience to hear what he has to say on his topic. Allah bless him to travel to Senegal years ago. I forget how many years it was, but I wanted to him to share a little bit what he experienced there in regards to this new mind concept. But first, I would like to read from the book called Thoughts for Searchers, Seeking to Understand Life, the book that was composed by a brother, I think his name is Rashad, that composed in the words of Imam W.D. Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with him and grant him the highest station of paradise. So when I read this, think of the new mind concept and developing your new mind. No veil between God and his servants is the subject in the book. Page 58, the second paragraph, Bismillah. It says, Allah says, nothing is between me and my servant, not even a thin veil. And in Al-Islam, there is no priesthood because Allah said that nothing, no mediator is necessary. You want to help my servant? Good. I will reward you for being a good servant. But if you don't help them, they are still going to get my communication eventually. Because there's nothing between me and my servant, not even a thin veil. And that is referring to Musa, alayhi salam. He spoke to God, but behind a veil. So if we read Quran in a Surah Musa, we will see that verse. And I wanted to say, I mentioned on my first show, this is my second, but my first show, that When we think about what triggers us to do something, either positive or negative, of course, when we have that voice in our heart that's calling you to do good, that is God speaking to you. So that's, to me, in the same context as what Imam Muhammad said about the veil. I think a lot of times we ignore that because of the all of the things that's going on in our world we live in the media and et cetera. But I'm going to bring Abdul Rashid Salam in to expand on that because he had a very, you know, significant experience when he traveled. So I'm going to bring him to the forefront. Abdul Rashid? Yes, I can hear you.
I'm from California, born and raised, alhamdulillah. I've been Muslim since 1986. Prior, I grew up in a Tampa home and whatnot, and so I was always inquisitive and wanted to know. So I accepted Islam upon what our sinning brother making Salah in the hall. And that sort of my interest was I had watched, read the Bible twice. And I knew that I was from the Hebrew Bible, the prophet of Jesus. That was a growth on them, they fell on the faith. So I knew that the brother was praying, so that's what my interest. To move further, I was able to go to Senegal with the car.
I'm getting
to go to the car and to Tuba. To have a great State scholar, Tehran Padilla, and he's a scholar of antiquity. But whenever you mention these important scholars who can be Afrocentric, they mention Kemet. You're really not credible if you don't use this scholar's name, or you run up of a reference, a cross reference, to Tehran Padilla. In the lady on the other side, they have a great scholar who did a lot of work. In fact, they were the one who discovered the body of Ramses II. Ramses II is the pharaoh of the tyrant of Moses during that time. He did on him. So he did the radiology and the constitution test. So, while being there, we actually went to the big mosque that they can hold over 25,000 to 30,000 people. We were walking. And the brother actually did say a dua. It is more like a shining thing. My leg wouldn't bend, first of all. My leg wouldn't bend. But this brother was adamant about me saying a dua to this shine. You know, he's speaking the language, whatever. You know, I don't know what, but same time, I thought the translator would tell them to just get his hands off me, first of all. And so one of the translators spoke to the sheikh, and the sheikh was asking him, okay, Rashid, why you don't want to bow down to this, or why you don't want to make a dua to this? I said, well, before I met you, I knew Allah before I met you.
Alhamdulillah.
So the brother put his head down very humbly and said, Rashid is right. And he said, we've been doing this for hundreds of years. And he's probably the only one who questioned.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
So this new mind concept,
yes,
is very, very critical, because this is what Imam Muhammad, as Justin was saying, is that we want to see things that people don't see. Not that we're going to be going out to try to correct the whole world, but through them trying to make us so imperfect and put us in a circumstance where we have to be survivalists, and then we have to innovate and do all these things, we are able to see negativity real clear,
mm-hmm,
because they made us a zero negative. So now we see negativity for what it is, for what it is right now. As we travel through the earth, we're going to see it. We can be able to collect and rectify those who are going down the same route that we've been casing for hundreds of years and whatnot. Now, Muhammad made a statement in reference to Isa and Muhammad. So I said, my people upon them both. He said, one of the signs of the day of judgment coming near is that the sign of the doomsday will be approaching when you see Muhammad and Isa together.
Mm-hmm.
Using them together. We in that time, man. Because here's the people who were Muslim prior to coming to this land.
Mm-hmm.
And the very ships that took them, bought them, he was there, Goryazi. Or the ships that fell from Senegal to the coast. The ship was called the Christ. Good ship, Mother Zeta. With, we heard, for example, sing the song and we didn't know what it was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
On a good ship, rocking top.
Mm-hmm.
That was in reference to calling her the brother. The brother was in, she had a sucker in her hand.
Sure did.
They brought us over here as suckers.
Wow.
So, as we on this ship, the ship is called Jesus. We are brought to this man. We accepted the idea that they gave about their depiction of Jesus. We accepted and believed it.
Come to the
after being prior Muslim. So we believe in two prophets. We believe in Jesus, Isa, peace be upon him, and Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see Muhammad, and you'll see Isa together. Okay, brother. Okay, brother. How does that connect to what you're saying? It connects very easily. Because Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was taught directly by Allah. And Isa was taught directly by Allah. Okay, what about you? Who taught you? Allah taught you. Nobody from the Middle East come to you and tell you anything about it.
Okay, Abdullah. So I'm like, Abdullah.
Like,
don't mean to cut you off, but we have 10 minutes left of the show, and I wanted to get to, you know, the education part. Okay, I'm just telling you because we have a time limit. That's all. Okay, alhamdulillah.
All right, so Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as us as a people, we were taught to let you by Allah. We've been re-taught by Allah. Allah taught us, and he brought us back to our original nature, which is divine. So we have to be very, very careful of the ideas and ideologies we're taking up right now. And keep the new mind. And you know, in Canada, which is known as Nubia or Nub, is Sudan right now. Only means original. So we have to go back to the original pattern, which means we're created. And that's the system. That's the natural pattern. Well, thank you very much. I didn't mean to expound so long, kind of like all over.
No, you don't want to drown folks. You want to get them time to, you know, interpret and just process all the information. Because even me, you like in a zone right now. Alhamdulillah, that's all great. But and I also wanted to pick up where he left off on the new, the original. So new, N-U-M-I-N-D-S. New mind is about the education. So Abdul Rashid, would you say that all of it, when you say Allah re-educated us, that's what we have to tap into, like getting a new mind. We have to educate ourselves. But if we don't acknowledge it, then not for me, I'm just looking at it in a way that Allah won't step in to intervene for you if you don't acknowledge that. Like, we do need to re-educate ourselves with this new mind, you know. I mean, because Allah is teaching us. Allah teaches, no one else, you know. So is that something that you would agree about? It's about re-educating ourselves.
That's
right.
Absorb information very easy and guide it very easy. So Allah taught us, I think that he taught intelligence and peace. So the Quran should be our safeguard. That should be what we have to be able to decipher all this information that comes in. Is it in line with the Quranic teaching? Is it in line with the fitrah? And the Quran is the
you know, I wanted to expand on that because the conversation we had this morning before I got a phone call about if women were can go to Juma or not, like we have an option not to go or not. Well, the Quran makes it clear when women are not in a state of prayer, of course we don't go, but then when we're in a state of prayer, we have to return to the prayer. So that's point blank. There's no corruption, no discrepancy in this deen, right? And also on the Hajj, I asked about this question about Hajj. I mean, say you know, women, when we make our intent, when Allah blesses me to make Hajj, inshallah, I go and my cycle come on. Does that annullify my Hajj, or does that like wipe away, you know, my reward, you know, because I intended to fulfill my obligation, but my cycle got in the way. So is that something that, you know, that Allah will just go wipe away? That's how Allah created me. Allah knew what was going to happen, but we have an obligation to do. So it's in the same context as the Juma. You know what I mean?
In the past, we have people who have a matriarchal system and a patriarchal system.
Okay.
Matriarchal system is where the woman is first. Patriarchal is where the man is first up front, the woman is behind. The Arabs had that tradition before Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came and brought them revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah made it clear
mm-hmm. That
he was trying to free them of this idea that they had to be ignorant.
Alhamdulillah.
The woman, mm-hmm. you know that you're doing the wrong thing, you're discarding mm-hmm. something that's pretty
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
He has a critical part to play
mm-hmm.
on her. Hajj, you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
was actually
named.
Foundation
mm-hmm.
named after
that's Adel. Right.
It's a struggle.
That's right.
He went through a struggle with his mind.
Mm-hmm.
As this, you really mean, you could want him to go on and get some customers for Ismael.
Mm-hmm.
And upon that engagement came the well of Zemzem, the water, like the water is like the spirituality. So she plays a critical role.
That's right. In creation, period.
Everybody always thinks the house of Allah. No, the house of Allah is Beitullah.
Beitullah.
The house of Allah. Mm-hmm. That is a place where we make sajda, masjid. We make sajda there.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a building.
Mm-hmm.
That's why right now we see brothers and sisters in the at the masjid, or we don't even really sometimes see them at the masjid because they take it as just like church. It ain't nothing but a building.
Mm-hmm.
Because they stay in the house of Allah and they got
mm-hmm.
their own direction.
Mm-hmm.
People be faced towards the house of Allah.
Well, and that brings me to a thought about you said the direction. I mean, look at the direction of our thinking. How, you know, the woman is not reverent as she should, even in the feminine cosmic order. Everything is just like turned all the way around. Everything is mixed up. You know, I'm not talking about just gender, but about the feminine concept principle. Anyway, you know. So even that, and all what you said is like it coincides with the topic, new mind. We have to change that, even if for it to be a better world, just to like improve our families. You know, the woman is very important, and when we understand that, I think the world would be a better place, and our families would be much stronger. You know, we would be. It would just be better. So thank you so much. That's like so great. So I'm hoping that, you know, the listeners is taking heed of all this, because this is very, very important. I just wanted to read our mission statement of New Minds. We have 3 minutes left of the show. So the mission statement of New Minds is to live our purpose by helping build strong community lives while serving the less fortunate, exemplifying good character courageously, working on ourselves first to do right towards others in order to grow a new mind. Our goal is to unselfishly celebrate the accomplishments of others, allowing them to shine in their new light unboastfully, empowering others to uplift the weak and to serve humanity. That's so important. I need to get this poem. It's a famous poem. It was read in the movie Akeelah and Abee. I'm sure we have 90 seconds left of the show, but if anyone knows what I'm speaking of, please email me that poem at EYE_C_US@yahoo.com. I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties, but we go get this right. I have to work on my new mind and not getting impatient with this, because we're new in you. We're baby in this. So I want to thank everyone who tuned in, and please tune in next Friday, 11 o'clock. Pacific Standard Time. Okay, you guys have a wonderful, wonderful evening. God bless you. Salaam alaikum.